His work has been banned, burned, and blacklisted. He survived talk show ambushes, protest marches, and death threats. And now Todd Sheets has let him loose on Jackalope Radio. Get ready, because whether you like it or not, you're about to have a heart attack.
Read my lips, I don't care what you say.
Well, folks, after last week's near heart attack on the air, I'm sure anybody who heard my last episode is wondering if I had an artery burst later, but I didn't. I'm all right. And you know what? I'm laughing my ass off. I am laughing my ass off because if you are a regular listener to Heart Attack, I'm Hart D. Fisher. With me is Josh Hadley.
Indeed.
Yeah. And we have been talking about a person who would like to call themselves a journalist, but they're an asshole, gossip-mongering jack-off. We are talking about Leanne Spider-Baby. You have heard me talk about her and my encounters with her in the horror industry. You know, there is a press blackout on American Horrors and my work within the mainstream horror magazines, and I believe Spider-Baby has something to do with that. Now, that's my own personal opinion. I don't have any proof on it, but every magazine that I've seen that she's worked with, suddenly they've done an about-face and stopped returning my calls for some reason, and I've had this problem with other horror creators. You see, Leanne Spider-Baby has been caught plagiarizing, not just plagiarizing once or twice, but good old Spider Baby. And I love the fucking fake name, guys. You've heard me rant about these journalists. These people call themselves journalists. Guys, you don't get to call yourself journalists with your fake Johnny Butane, Billy Blow Up, Jackie Jack Off, Dickie Dark. You know, you're David or you're John or whatever your fucking real name is. That's what a real journalist is. Like, I'm looking at this article on Wired about the Secret War, and the guy's name who wrote it is James Bamford, not James Darkwing. James Bamford, no fake fucking name. Well, when you get a fake fucking name, you get a fake fucking personality. And that's what this person has done. She has used her ability to have a vagina and a pretty face to climb the ladder. And there's a lot of people defending this person's plagiarism. The editor at Fangoria has come out, Christopher Alexander, and he is defending her plagiarism. He's defending their enabling of this person, because this person has used her position as a writer for Fangoria to hurt other actors and to hurt other artists that I know with gossip mongering. And I've been talking to people about it to see who'd come on the air and who'd actually talk to me about what this person did besides just plagiarism, because plagiarism just doesn't start, guys. It just doesn't start. If you're a plagiarist, especially as a writer, when you write an article, you sit there and you reread your article. You got to proofread it. You got to make sure there's no spelling errors. You got to make sure you got your commas in the right place. You know your own shit, guys. You know it. And Leanne, you know you've been stealing for a long time. And my question is, are these editors at Fangoria going to force her to cough up the money that they paid her for her ripping off other creators' work? Are they going to make her give some of that money to the writer she stole from? I mean, do you think they'll have the guts to do that, Josh?
I don't think they will. If she truly wants to atone for what she did, or at least put a face on it, an atonement, she should go to each writer that she ripped off, if she can even remember them all, and give them the money she earned for whatever that she stole from them. She won't, but she should.
And, you know, I know a lot about plagiarism, and I know a lot about the law involving plagiarism, because I have been to court over copyright infringement. I have been to court over trademark infringement. And guess what? I am the only creator in the comics industry that I know of that kicked Marvel's ass in court over copyright and trademark infringement and forced them to cancel their infringing title, which was called Dark Angel. And my book was Dark Angel, which is the comic I launched my comic company, Boneyard Press, with many, many years ago, back in the dim, dark 90s. So today, since I can't find any actors who have the guts to come on the show at this moment, I mean, there's a real fear, guys. There is a real fear of a backlash with these magazines, and they look at how I've been treated. You know, I'm a guy who stood up for the First Amendment. American Horrors is free to watch worldwide. We have super rare, hard-to-find horror that you can't find that I use special people to track down these tapes and these films for me that are experts on horror history. And that's how I get my stuff. But you won't read about me on Fangoria. You won't read, you know, Rue Morgue will put Danzig on the cover, but Rue Morgue won't mention that on Sundays at American Horrors, we have uncut Danzig videos all day long, all uncut satanic horror films, just for fucking Sunday. So there's, I have issues here. I have a personal stake in this. So when you hear me roast this editor from Fangoria who totally apologizes for that bitch, I have a personal issue here. I have dealt with these people. I have seen the lives that Leanne has fucked up with her bullshit. So I see the real consequences. So this isn't just a fucking fun article on the internet for me. I see the people that have been hurt by what she's done. And as a person who's been a victim of plagiarism, I've had my work plagiarized, and I've had the fans of the plagiarist fucking attack me while my wife was suffering from cancer. So we're going to bring on the show today. We've got a special guest today. And in fact, you know, this is because of Josh. Josh, why don't you introduce our guest who's going to be coming on later in the show?
Well, I first got acquainted with Mike White back from his zine Cashiers du Cinemart when he made the rather idiotic decision to be the first person to ever publish anything that I wrote. And he's been paying for that ever since. But most people might know Mike White as the American that outed Quentin Tarantino's blatant theft of City on Fire for his debut film Reservoir Dogs. White took a ton of criticism at that point, too. He's been a journalist, a freelance writer, and in all the years I've known him, which has got to be going over a decade now, I've always known him to be one of those journalistic integrity kind of guys, even if it costs him jobs.
Gotcha, Halleck. I gotcha. Well, that's the thing that is kind of... One of the things that's really made me sick about this was the mad dash of the editors that employed this person and enabled this person. They made a mad dash to instantly defend her right away. But it turned out that her plagiarism was nonstop. Like, she's got a new article in the brand new Video Watchdog, which is a really cool little magazine that I know I was reading it in the 90s. I haven't really read it in a long time, but the editor there, Tim Lucas, he came out and was, man, he was sucking this chick's coos. He was sucking her coos, defending her so bad. And I'm like, what, did Tarantino offer to give him a fucking prostate massage for this or what? Because that's right, folks. Leon Spiderbaby is Quentin Tarantino's girlfriend. How's that for a mind fuck? A guy accused of plagiarism for most of his films, and now his girlfriend is a fucking caught and convicted goddamn plagiarist, convicted in the court of public opinion, that is, not by a court of law. It's pretty devastating to see this happen and to see it happen again and to watch these people try to protect their own interests above the people that have been wrong. Because, you know, when your work gets plagiarized, it fucks up the honest creator, the real creator who did it. When I did my poetry, I've got a rock star out there, My Chemical Jagoff fucking Gerard Way. This asshole plagiarized my work, and he made millions off of it. Millions. And it hurts me. It hurt me with the fans. It hurts the people that were fans of Poems for the Dead and Still Dead, and it hurts my creativity. It impacts your ability to sell your work, because now some kid who grew up listening to My Chemical ripoff will get Poems for the Dead, a real original work about the murder of my girlfriend, and they're going to go, oh, man, this guy's ripping off Gary Way. It damages your product. It totally damages your product.
It and does, but I'd like to add, though, that Tim Lucas did retract his defense of Leanne and has not only apologized for it, has outright called her out for it. Tim Lucas did the right thing, and he acted like a man in this situation.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there. I contacted Tim myself and said, hey, I used to really respect you, dude. I used to respect Video Watchdog. What the fuck happened? And he actually got back to me. He got back to me and he did a total about face once he got more. And this is what I like, you know, folks. If you just hold your position because you don't want to be seen as a flip-flopper, well, you're a fucking dumbass, because as you get information, you need to reevaluate your decisions in life. The more information you get, the more you can make a better, more informed decision. And so that's what Tim Lucas did. He got more information, he did his research, and he said, oh, shit, I put my toe in it big time. And he reversed his position, and I actually respect that, because it takes a lot of guts to go, you know what, I was wrong on my first one, and we're changing our tone, and, you know, we found more problems. And guess what, guys? We're going to go to a commercial real quick that really expresses how I feel about Leanne fake-ass spider baby McDougal, and we're going to bring on Mike White, and we're going to talk to him. Tigra. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that name right, but it is a crazy little band, and you are listening to Heart Attack. I am Hart D. Fisher. With me is Josh Hadley, and we have our very first guest ever on Heart Attack, and I think it's pretty appropriate because we are truth tellers here on Heart Attack. We like to expose the injustices that the mainstream media would like to sweep under the carpet. With us today is a guy who has stood the test of time, a gentleman who has withstood fire to speak to his truths. And guess what? He unearthed the things about Tarantino in his day in the 90s involving the allegations that Reservoir Dogs was a ripoff of a foreign film called City on Fire. Now, go watch those films. Decide for yourself. Funniest thing, I think, is here we are. What is this? Mike White, introduce yourselves to the audience. And how many years has it been since you pulled that off? 20?
It has been 20 years, yeah. It was 93 when I first made the first cut of Who Do You Think You're Fooling? Yeah. That was actually a short video, about 10 minutes long.
Oh, wow. Is that on YouTube? Can people still see that?
Yep. It's on YouTube, Vimeo. Yep. Just go out and Google it. Yeah, I made it. Actually, I had to make it a couple times because the first time I made it was some really crappy video equipment. So redid it. And yeah, it looks a little bit better now.
Very cool. Very cool. What is it like for you to be... It's 20 years later. It's hilarious. Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm dealing with my own 20-year anniversary. As we record this, you know, this is the 20th anniversary of me shooting my film, The Garbage Man. It's 20 years for me of well, it's not something to celebrate, but it's been on my mind, my girlfriend's murder. I've been interviewed for a documentary about the 90s, and it's something that I discussed. And here we are talking about Tarantino's plagiarism in the 90s, and now you nailed his girlfriend. I mean, how did you come across her work?
First off, I'd like to say I didn't nail her in in some senses of the word.
you didn't stick anything within her body. But then we know she's not about that. You know, she's a foot job girl because we know Quentin likes feet sex. Because, you know, one of the funny things, guys, is I've been in L.A. for a long time. And my favorite thing is I love to tour the gutter. All right. So I worked in the adult film industry. I know secrets, guys. I worked for Vivid. I worked for all the main names in adult. I worked in fetish. I worked doing fetish films. And one of the fetish stuff that I dealt with a lot was foot models and foot sex stuff. And guess who's a total goddamn foot freak? Yay. And that's OK. There's nothing wrong with that. Nope. You know, but I would think it'd get kind of boring, you know, for her, where you're just normally, you know, sex with your feet would get kind of dull.
Yeah, well, different strokes. Different,
as it is.
Different toes, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about fallen arches.
Oh. Well, getting back to Speaking of this, you know, my friends were calling me last night. They knew I was going to do the Leanne Spider Baby body slam on Heart Attack. And they were all concerned that, you know, she's with Quentin and, you know, they might sue for slander because apparently they've been using Quentin Tarantino's PR team to fight this.
They are doing a lousy job.
Well, how can you? The story's too good. And the internet age is different. The internet age, I mean, for you, you must see a tremendous difference between when you did this expose the first time and doing it now in the tweet age.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, just there were so few venues back then. I mean, thank goodness in a way for Chris Gore, because he was kind of my mouthpiece out there going around with the tape and, you know, the old VHS videotapes and mailing them around to different people and everything. And it wasn't until the New York Underground Film Festival when it really started to get some legs. And then with that, you had Miramax really starting to crack down on things. And Todd Rohal, the director of Starsky and Hutch and the Hangover films, he was one of the guys behind New York Underground. And I think, I won't say for sure, but I think he kind of saw an opportunity to parlay some of his fame or infamy at that time into maybe doing some stuff out in Hollywood.
Chris Gore is another brave guy who really went to bat for independent film throughout the 90s. And isn't he doing a TV show now?
I believe he's still on Attack of the Show, and then he's doing a whole bunch of stuff. It is really kind of tough to keep up with him. He's doing so many things.
I'm really happy for his success.
Yeah, speaking of fetishes, he's supposed to be doing a TV show or a web series called Fetishville, where it's all done with little dolls, and he's made all these miniature, like, bondage equipment and stuff. I funded it on Kickstarter a while ago, and it looks like it's going to be hilarious.
Mike, how did you finally get the information? Because you said you got it on your blog from an anonymous source. What did you do after that? How much investigation before you kind of went, ah, shit, I'm back in Tarantino's world?
Yeah, it was really funny because the guy who gave me the information, he was just like, oh, this is perfect for you. And he started talking about this girl, and I'd barely heard of her, to be honest. I had heard about her years ago when I was listening to the Rugmore radio podcast. They were slagging on this girl named Leanne. And just the way they were describing her, I had a really different picture in my head of who she was and what she was. I was like, okay, you know, yeah, this kind of makes sense. And yeah, all right, you know, thank you for this information. And I am all about, you know, exposing plagiarists and everything. Guy who I'm talking to is like, oh, you should call it. Who does your girlfriend think she's fooling? And I'm just like, yeah, okay, I guess I get that. And then finally, I'm doing research. I'm like, oh, she's Tarantino's girlfriend. Now I get it. It took a little while for the light bulb to go off. But I mean, honestly, I think I got the call at 10 o'clock on Friday night. And by what, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning is when I hit, you know, publish on the blog, because I had two really solid examples. So, yeah, we're only just a few days out from it.
And it's just, you know, this is exactly how it blew up for me, too, when I discovered that Gerard Way and My Chemical Romance were plagiarizing my themes and my images, and they were rearranging my poetry for their lyrics. That I found out because I heard the fucking Black Parade on the radio. And at first I had a conniption in my car, pulled over off the 101, beat the shit out of my dashboard, was flipping the fuck out. Then I got home and I found out, oh, Gerard Way, Gerard? Oh, that's fucking Gary. That's Gary Way. Oh, my God. My kid, my intern. Holy shit. He worked for me when he was 15. Fuck. Then you realize, oh, wait a minute. And I started to do my research, and I'm like, you get this sinking feeling like, oh, no, I'm not going to get to celebrate this kid's victories. He's fucking ripping me off. Oh, no. Oh, it's getting worse from album to album. And I saw the same pattern with Leanne Spider Baby. The further along she got, the more confident she felt about not getting caught, and she just pushed it further and got lazier with the ripoff. And I found the same with this Rock Jack off. It was the same kind of thing, and I had the same experience where I just wrote a blog on my blog, like my regular old Live Journal bullshit blog that had a couple readers. And next thing I know, in a couple of days, I'm on RollingStone.com. It's weird how this internet age just instantly blows it up now. It ain't like before where you'd have a slow rollout and then a news company would come and your local CBS affiliate knocks on your door, right?
Yeah, it's so different. I mean, before it was all such word of mouth and, you know, maybe somebody mentions it to somebody else. And really, like, these were the tape trading days. And my stuff ended up on some VHS tapes that would get traded amongst people. And it's like, okay, that's how folks knew about it. So it's weird because still people are like, oh, you're the guy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you've taken some backlash over this, Mike.
How has it affected your career? Yeah, this is really it, man. What has happened like backlash? Did you ever lose a job or anything?
Not that I'm aware of.
I lost a job because of that fucking kid's plagiarism, because he lied about working for me and he lied. This asshole went to the press and said, if only somebody had believed in me when I was a kid and published my comics when I was a kid, maybe things would be different for me. And wow. I'm like, you motherfucker, I published your work when you were 15. You lying. How could you put that into interviews? And so I was up for a directing gig, and, you know, you want to show that you're a tastemaker, that you can develop talent. So when I had found out that this kid, you know, had gone on and did this stuff, I'm like, yeah, he worked for me, he did this, this, and this. And they checked, and there was nothing. He lied about everything. So they thought I was a liar, and they didn't want to work with a liar. So I lost a job when I really needed it to help pay for my fucking wife's medical bills. So if some people wonder why I get so angry over plagiarism, if why I think Chris Alexander at Fangoria is a fucking asshat for defending this person's thievery that hurt real creators that should have got money, because it's goddamn personal for me, motherfuckers. Alexander at Fango, you're a piece of shit, you motherfucker. How can you dare apologize for this fucking stealing skirt who's done nothing but climb the ladder with her goddamn coups? She's a talentless hack piece of shit, and you're protecting her? Give me a fucking break, you fucking asshat. And your customers that buy your magazine expect you as a fucking editor to do your goddamn due diligence and make sure these fucking people are really writing their own goddamn articles. You funded a criminal, you asshole. You enabled her to hurt other artists. Did you reach out? Did you hire any of these other critics that she fucking injured their work? Did you fucking asshole?
All right, calm down. Heart, calm down.
Sorry, guys. There's a reason why this
calm
is a
heart down,
attack.
Calm down.
And this is a little personal for me because these people have injured my business. They have gone out of their way to hurt my business. And they have gone out of their way to hide it from fans. And that really pisses me off.
But we've got Mike, and I want to utilize
Sorry, Mike. I get going, man, and I'm just on my first cup of coffee.
Wow, that's great.
Do you think this will, because I think you've proven on multiple occasions that you're an actual film journalist.
Yeah, dude.
Do you think this will actually help you get jobs, or do you think, no, let's just for the sake of argument say Tarantino stands by her. Do you think the fear of Tarantino backlash is going to cost you jobs in the future?
No, I just, you know, I was just saying to somebody yesterday, it's like the real shame of this is that I don't know how to parlay this kind of flash in the pan success, quote unquote, into anything. You know, I'm not this kind of opportunist like I believe Leanne might be, but yeah, I'm not one of these like social climbers where it's just like, oh, we, you know, and I'm not going to go out there and tout myself as like, I'm the guy that broke this story, because really I was more just a conduit of other people who had actually done the initial research and saw these similarities and everything. So it's like, okay, yeah, I posted on my blog. That's cool, you know, and hopefully I did a good job with that and got the information out there and presented it in a way that makes sense for people and everything. But, you know, I'm not going to go out there and start trumpeting my name of like, I'm the guy that broke the story and I'm super important. Bah, bah, bah. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, I don't know. I don't know if this whole thing, either the first round with Tarantino or this one, ever cost me anything. It's not like I really go after that much stuff. I'm much more of a DIY person, you know.
Are you in Los Angeles?
No, I'm in Detroit.
Well, then fuck. No wonder you don't give a fuck, dude. I'm from Chicago, and yeah. I've done a lot of conventions in Detroit. It's great that you're in Detroit and you're doing this because, you know, I'll tell you, being in Hollywood is the kind of town that it kind of turns you into that guy, because when you're dealing with people, you gotta give them a reason why they should talk to you right away. They really kind of wear that, well, who the fuck are you? Why do I need to talk to you kind of thing? And it's really nonstop in this town. And I have felt myself slide into that, well, I'm Hart D. Fisher. La, 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 la. Let me tell you, I'm Hart. I got a radio show. Du, 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 du. I find myself falling into that trap, man. It's fucking, I kick myself when I hear it.
Tarantino, I don't know if he recognized your name when he first read about this.
Fuck but yeah, he did, dude.
I think
you
it
remember.
Would be funny. I think it would be
remember.
Funny if he'd be like, oh, fucking Mike White again?
He did. I bet you he did. I bet you he's like, motherfucker. Come on, Josh. You're getting a longevity. Isn't there like some insects that bother you? I'm sure he refers to Mike as like this asshole instead of going, well, I did what I did. I better be responsible for my own actions. How about that one? Like, I love how they, you know, this Leanne Spider cunt did the same fucking thing that Gerard Jackass My Chemical Jagoff did when their toe got caught in the ringer and the press came calling. Or I would love to thank, I've always wanted to thank Hart, but I wanted to do it in person. Well, you recorded your ripoff album in my neighborhood, you asshole. You could have come over. I live in a public area. This Leanne Spider baby was like, I want to apologize to these people myself, so please leave me alone. What do you think of this letter-writing campaign she pulled where she's writing these letters to journalists going, please don't pick on me and write about my crimes? Because it's a crime, guys. She's a fucking criminal.
Yeah, that was funny getting those emails. I mean, there was a twinge, just a twinge for just like a hot second where I was like, well, and then I was like, no, that's... And I had written back to her after the first one because she was just, it was a really weird email that she had sent me where it was like a couple paragraphs had been repeated. Like she was just doing a copy and paste job and hit control V a couple too many times. And I was like, that's what got you in trouble in the first place, honey. The thing that got me was, you know, she was like, oh, I've been getting these death threats and da 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 da. And I'm just like, how is getting death threats leading to you going out and purposefully stealing material from other people? That makes no sense.
And you
then
know,
I was just like, no, I don't think so. And then also at the time it was pretty much limited to like myself and one of the writers who had actually been ripped off. And so we had our stuff, and as far as I know, nobody else had really done anything. I wasn't aware of the groups that were going on, the different forums that had started up about these, or, you know, the postings on those. And I was like, well, right now it's contained, you know, it's just in a couple places. So if I take it down, it's just going to be more questions. Why did this disappear? Because that seemed to be your MO, was taking down stuff. And it's like, no, I think it's actually better for you in the long run if it just is in a couple places. Maybe you can control it or something. You know, it's just taking it down would be pouring gasoline on a fire.
And then LA Times got it.
Yeah, LA Times. And really, it was Gawker that got it going when they
went
out with theirs. Yeah.
I read the Gawker article. That's the first one that I saw. And also the lady, the woman, what's her name? The critic that got ripped off in the latest thing.
Mary Ann from Flick Philosopher.
Yes.
Yeah, Mary Ann from Flick Philosopher. I saw her article and I read hers. And then I think you sent me the Gawker one, Josh. And the funny thing about this is, who the fuck is sending Leanne Spider cunt fucking death threats? Are you kidding me? She plagiarized the review. It's no one's threatening her with death. No one is stalking her. No one is outside her door. Because you know what, folks? I dealt with real goddamn stalkers. I had real death threats from fucking ex-cons and weirdos. So I hate when people are like, I got one email that said they're going to kill me. I'm getting death threats. Go fuck yourself. That's not real. Wait till somebody's outside your house watching you, you asshole. So, Leanne, quit trying to play the victim. Oh, I'm so scared now. People are saying mean things about me on the internet because I ripped off a bunch of people that don't get paid for their work in a time when America really needs jobs and money. Why wouldn't people understand? I'm just stealing for myself.
And then parlaying her fame into a full-fledged career, you know?
Well, you know what I think?
I wonder if Chiller, because she's been picked up as the new on-air host for the Chiller TV network.
Now,
I wonder if
they're
going to dump her ass quick.
They're going to dump her ass quick really bad, because I just got notified from a friend of mine that was having a meeting with a major studio. I'm not going to say what studio, but they are trying to cast their films based on how many Twitter followers you have. That is how lost these fucking studios are.
Wow.
Yeah, that's real shit. That just came out of a meeting last week with actually two friends of mine at two different companies told me about this, that these geniuses want to cast by how many Twitter followers you got. Now, Leanne here is acting as if what she's doing is so creative. Let's get back to what she does. She has no talent, guys, and this book that she built a career. No, she didn't build a career. She fucked her way to a career. She wouldn't have that book deal at St. Martin's Press if she didn't fuck her way up the ladder. Because we know, oh boy, St. Martin's Press can't wait to put out a book of criticism. That's a big seller. They're not trying to court Quentin at all. Because she's been talking about printing that Grindhouse Girls bullshit. She's been pushing that book for like 3 or 4 fucking years that it's supposed to come out. And finally, she ends up being this guy's girlfriend. And all of a sudden, her career takes off. Let's call a spade a spade. This woman is a non-talent that has screwed her way up the ladder, has gossip-mongered her way through the magazines to the point where, I'm not kidding, man, there are these namby-pamby people out there that are trying to figure out, I've still got a friend at Fango. I can't give you the dirt of what they did to me. I can't talk about what they did to me because I'm afraid of a backlash. Well, you know what, guys? More people listen to this fucking show than read that rag. All right? That rag is dying, guys. It's a brand that's dying. It has no power. They can't blacklist you. They can't get you fired off your job. They try. This woman tried. I have actor friends that she really worked hard to hurt them, and they're afraid to come on. They're afraid to speak out about this, and I'm going to keep working on them to try to expose this kind of shit. Have you seen anything happen to in your time as journalist and you're doing this stuff, Mike, have you seen like it come back on you where an editor's like, I don't know if your flavor's right for our magazine?
Oh, I've definitely had that. I've had different magazines tell me that I'm way too highbrow, and then others tell me I'm way too lowbrow. I have yet to find that perfect middle brow magazine.
Do you make a living with what you write?
No, definitely not. I've made a living just via, or as much of a living as I can, doing the 40-hour job, doing the regular jobby job type job since I graduated from college. I've gotten paid a couple bucks for reviews here and there, and then it wasn't until 2007 until I finally got a paying gig, and that was all of $5 a review. So never have made money on stuff. And when it came to Cashiers du Cinema, the zine that I've been doing since 94, that doesn't make any money either. I still have boxes and boxes of issues out in the garage that are just kind of moldering there because, print and went and died on me and nobody let me know.
I don't think print is dead. And in fact, I really believe print is coming back, especially in the face of all the spying that's going on. If you truly want to have a private life, folks, you're going to have to go back to cash. You're going to have to get your $20 bill and go get your book on the Secret War at the bookstore. That's the only way you're going to have any privacy anymore, guys, because it's gone. They are spying on everything we do. And we're seeing this here. You talk about Leanne's MO in the past has been that these articles would just disappear off the net, right, Mike?
Right, yeah. As soon as I, when I heard about this initially, most of it was being pointed towards her column that she had at fearnet.com. And everything had been taken down. Luckily, there's Google Cache out there so you can go back and see what was there. Then as more things came out, it was, she took parts from here and parts from there. And then you could see, her stuff was still out there in print. And you could go back and double check some of the stuff. So yay again for print. But yeah, she was just taking down everything she possibly could. Yesterday, her Rondo Award-winning YouTube channel, all the videos from that disappeared. So
what's the Rondo Award-winning YouTube channel? What do you mean? She has a YouTube channel?
Yeah, she does this show called Fright Bites.
That's right, Fright Bites. Funny thing about motherfucking Fright Bites, Mike. Here's something personal for you. I was working on putting together an app for American Horrors, and it was called Bite-Sized Reviews, and I was going to do this with Tom Carnell, a writer at Fangoria, and I was talking to another editor at Fangoria about doing this. I'm not going to name him because I don't feel like it. I was working on this, and this was years ago, and this was on the AmericanHorrors.com page, and we were putting it together, and the guys knew about it, and the Fango people knew about it, and it was bite-sized reviews. Guess what happens? Next thing you know, Leanne Spiderbaby, who, yes, hates my guts too, has a review show called Fright Bites. Gosh. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to have a little bit more of Mike because we really enjoy our conversation with him. You're listening to Heart Attack.
Hey, you guys. Hart D. Fisher for American Horrors and Heart Attack here, and I just wanted to drop you a little note that you guys should be drinking Hydra Blue. Now, what the hell is Hydra Blue? Well, it's naturally energized spring water. What the hell does that mean? It means it's high-frequency water, guys. When you've got a shark and it can smell blood for miles in the ocean, it doesn't really smell blood. It picks up on the frequency of the blood. The frequency of the blood. You understand? So here we are, and we have our water that mostly comes to us through our faucet. And well, frankly, that's low-energy water. That's water that's mostly dead and chemically treated and messed up and just normally not very good for you. But me, I'm doing something better. I'm drinking Hydra Blue, and now you guys can too. I've been drinking this stuff for almost a year now, and it's really helped me to feel good. I really enjoy being hydrated, it's helped me get off the coffee, and I got a lot more energy. Now, if you want to get some, you can get it at www.hydrablue.com. And if you use the code word horror, you're going to get 15% off. That's right. Use the code word horror at hydrablue.com, and you're going to get 15% off your order. But better than that, when you start drinking this water, I think you're going to feel a little better. I think you're going to be a little bit more hydrated. I think you might even find you've got enough energy to put down that damn energy drink and just drink some old-fashioned Hydra Blue. And that's my message from Hart at Heart Attack. But it's not always about selling you guys stuff. Sometimes I just want to give a shout-out to somebody I really like or does really great stuff. And if you're an MMA fan, you need to check out Gokor at Gokor.com. Gokor Chavichian is an amazing martial artist who's one of the leading minds in the MMA frontier. This guy has the best instructional tapes. He's a good friend of mine. I've trained with him for over 10 years. An amazing man. Go to Gokor.com today. Check it out. Get some instructional videos. Get yourself some literature and learn how to destroy human beings the right way at Gokor.com. Creator Hart D. Fisher. American Horrors is the world's greatest uncut horror channel. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, American Horrors brings you nothing but the bloody best in uncut horror. Watch free, worldwide, only at filmon.com. This July on American Horrors, catch new Bleeding Edge Horror by Tony Natoli, Annette Martinez, Johnny Dickey, Patrick O'Bell, plus new episodes of Gut Munching Zombie Series 813, and the best damn horror movie review show, Fright Asylum. Watch American Horrors now on filmon.com.
Welcome back to Heart Attack, you cocksucking motherfuckers. I am Hart D. Fisher, and I'm having the best time today, man. I am having the best time. These people that have maligned me, that have fucked with me, that have made my life difficult, are now twisting in the wind by their own hand. We are discussing at length plagiarism online and plagiarism within the horror community. Mike White is one of the journalists that broke this story, and he broke it on his own. He broke it in the face of people asking him, oh, please don't say such mean things like the truth about me. Please don't give the truth because I like living a lie. This has been a wonderful conversation. I'm so happy you came on the show. Tell me a little bit more about where you think this is heading. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, you've kind of watched this whole thing explode. What else is behind the scenes happening that's going to be the next wave?
Well, it seems like this has really kind of brought to light a lot of different issues. I mean, there's been a lot of really good conversation online as far as, has Leanne kind of parlayed her looks into her success? Is there this kind of inherent misogyny amongst the horror community? Is there, you know, like, there are so many things that
I'm
going
to say this
up.
Right off the bat. I hate to interrupt, but there isn't misogyny in the horror industry, guys. That's all bullshit made up by journalists outside the industry. Any woman director who's out there complaining that she didn't get the job because she has a vagina. Well, guess what, asshole? Men are getting the same shit. We get told the same bullshit about why we don't get the job. Quit blaming it on your sex. It has nothing to do with misogyny. Women are making tons of horror films. They're kicking ass in horror. There's tons of horror writers that are women. There's tons of horror directors that are women. They're making a huge impact. So fuck that bullshit talk. Sorry, Mike. Please continue.
Oh, no problem. Well, it's funny. There was a comment on a friend of mine's Facebook page where it was about Leanne's writing for, I think it was for Fangoria. An intern had said, you know, oh, hey, this is really kind of crappy writing. You know, we should have her redo this. And the answer was, you know, the reply was, just leave it be. She's cute. And
God, really?
The intern who was proofing it was a woman. And she's just like, yeah, this is kind of, you know, bad for all women journalists that this whole spider baby thing happened and that it blew up. So yeah, it's not good at all. And then there are other things that are kind of coming to light. There's been discussion as far as, you know, Fangoria writers and are they getting paid? Because there's this whole thing of, oh, she made all of her money off of the backs of unpaid writers. And then a lot of Fango writers are coming out and saying, well, I never got paid for anything. And yeah, that seems to be kind of a problem at their magazine.
That's the dirty secret, Mike, is everybody in the business knows about that with Fangoria. Now, I personally can't throw too many stones at glass houses here because as a publisher of Boneyard Press, I went through bankruptcy court and I owed people money. You know, there were artists and creators at Boneyard that didn't get paid. And I went under to the tune of like $115,000. It's all public record. You know, I have a list of everybody that I owed money to. It's a tricky thing in publishing. And people at Fango know that there's a lot of shenanigans that have gone on in the background with writers not being paid. And so the question begins, well, why would you not pay a famous name writer that worked for you for 20 years and instead pay this chick who has inferior writing?
Yeah, that is a question. I want to read to you, we were talking before about the email that Leanne sent me, and she actually sent a couple. I want to read you the second one where she was really pleading with me to take down the post that I did. Could you please take it down now? It won't cause more harm. Please find it in your heart to take it down. I ask that you delete the post, and I am working on my apology that I only want posted on my personal website, not others. And I'm going to offer to give back my rondo, and I hope you can find it in your heart to take down the message board. I'm not a bad person. I just did a bad thing, and now I need to clean up my own mess. Please, I'm doing everything I can.
I'm sorry, Mike, but that's fucking hilarious.
I do bad shit. I fuck over other creators that are more talented than me, but I'm not a bad person. What kind of crazy mind is going on in there? You fucking dumb broad. What the fuck is wrong with you? Yes, you are a bad person. Yes, you hurt nice people. You hurt people that worked hard. You fucked them. You're a bad person, Leanne. Look in the mirror. You're a bad person. Deal with it.
She apologized on her Twitter.
Did she give any money to these writers? Because she got paid for stealing their work, so it seems to me there's a major lawsuit there.
I'm sure she hasn't. But I was going to say she apologized on her Twitter, and then she retweeted like 30 stories, almost like random stories, just to push it off of that front page of Twitter. And then she deleted her Twitter account, switched to another name, and then switched back after the first Twitter account went away. And now she's like retweeting things about Kim Kardashian and stuff. And it's like,
and
what?
And she also made her website invite only.
Yeah, made her website invite only. Basically removed it from the website, from the world.
If you want to find her on Facebook, guys, just look up Leanne Mack. Leanne Mack, because I posted and tagged her into a post about her crimes, and she immediately removed it as fast as she could, because hiding their crimes in the cyber age seems to be what they do now. That is the trick. We're just going to hide it, and we're just going to disallow it. Like, here we have nobody in the news is talking about the assassination of Michael Hastings. Michael Hastings is a reporter who brought down General, McChrystal? McChrystal, who was in charge in Afghanistan, and this dude was blown up in the middle of Hollywood. And just recently, the police decided that they were going to burn the body. They after the autopsy that they did, they cremated the body, which is against procedure. You do not cremate the body of a crime. You know, you don't dispose of that. And then the family didn't want that either. They wanted a real body back. And so they did it against the wishes of the family. And to me, it's like this deceit and this way of their handling these cover-ups. It's from the top down to the bottom down. They use the same techniques from the top. Distraction. Let's all talk about Zimmerman, the white Latino. Come on, guys. I have never in my life heard a news broadcast talk about a white black man or a white Asian or a white Latino. Designed to distract you from the things at hand, which is exactly what Leanne's trying to do here, isn't she?
Sure seems like it, you know, but now she's just gone radio silent about everything.
And you know what really bugs me?
Wait a minute. Off the air, you mentioned that you were pursuing some new stuff, and you mentioned Fangoria. What's the other angle that you were pursuing?
Not directly related to Fangoria, but just I'm curious if this has, you know, this story about plagiarism, I'm very curious if there are other plagiarized things that are out there. So I've just been kind of looking around, and people have been kind of pointing me in different directions saying, you might want to check out this, you might want to check out that. So stay tuned. There might be some more good stuff coming up at the Impossible Funky blog.
I think there will be, because I'm seeing a real laziness in these modern writers. You got all these people online, and they seem to think it's okay to plagiarize. I've had assholes take my poetry from Poems for the Dead, change it into some of it in a little bit more emo, and all of a sudden it's on their blog as their poetry. And this is rampant. I've been dealing with this plagiarism of my work I've been dealing with for fucking 20 goddamn years. And they seem to feel like they're on the web and no one's going to notice. You know, like no one's looking at my page, so I can get away with it for my high school friends. And then they think, oh, well, I'll just yank it down. And it's not that way. Like you said, Google Cache, you can find this stuff anyway. When these people want to hide something and they want to yank it down, well, it's still on the web, right?
Yeah, it's out there.
You know what I want to see happen? Because we're running out of time. I want to see Mike get a Rondo next year for his investigative journalism into the Rondo scam of this year. Do you think that would actually happen, Mike?
I think it should be you, Mike, and the lady who had her review ripped off the most.
Marianne.
I think the two of you guys should get a dual Rondo, and you should both get Leanne Spider-Cunt's Rondo. And what does that say about the awards? What does that say about these people that give out these awards? Don't you fucking check the work, you assholes? How? What kind of an award could you possibly have? How worthy is it if you judges don't know what the fuck you're judging?
Well, that she was out there, like, really campaigning hard for the writing award just really kind of sickens me.
That, to me, speaks to a psychopathic misanthrope, somebody who knew they did not write their own stuff and still said, I deserve an award for it. That's
it wasn't enough that she got paid. Josh, it's not enough that she's getting money for other people's work. She's literally taking money from other creators. She wants to be congratulated and given an award for it, too.
Exactly, but we are running out of time. So, Mike, if people want to find you, you said Impossible Funky, but also we need to tell people you've got the great show, The Projection Booth.
Over at projection-booth.com, or you can go to impossiblefunky.blogspot.com.
That's right, guys. You've been listening to another Heart Attack with Hart D. Fisher and Josh Hadley as we roast alive an asshole thieving cunt. Oh, yeah, and it was a lot of fun. If you want to find Hart D. Fisher, you can find him at Twitter at Hart_Fisher. I don't tweet a lot, but I tweet some. Or you can find me on Facebook. I'm on there. It's Hart fucking Fisher. And you can find us at facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio. Also, check out my horror website, AmericanHorrors.com. You could hear more episodes of this and Josh Hadley's other shows at 1201beyond.com. We are out of here, motherfuckers.
You never listen to a word that I said. You only see me fight. Heart Attack is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.